This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Slated to IPO on the 20th of February at 68 cent per share, In Nature Berhad is looking to raise about 120.5 million ringgit from the listing, with proceeds to be used for capital expenditure, working capital and new business development. So to tell us a bit more about this, I have with me in studios today Datin Mina Chia Fung, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad. Thank you for joining us, Datin Mina.
Good morning, Lynn.
So there were initially some questions about the timing of your IPO. Why decide to IPO now when not just the Malaysian economy, but the global economy is also starting to slow?
You know, we've been on this IPO process for almost 2 years now, getting the company ready, make sure that we are compliant in all respects. And we didn't set out to look for a time. We actually were just focused on the IPO. And things happen all the time. You know, if it wasn't the Iran, the almost war between Iran and Iraq and the US, it was now coronavirus. And it's we're not trying to time the market. You know, I just want to bring our business to the main board, because it's something that I've been planning for a long time now. It's an opportunity for us to actually turn our stakeholders into shareholders, because people have been with me, my staff have been with me for a long time, so have my suppliers and so on. So it's a good opportunity. And we've been in this business for 36 years.
So, but then, you know, the issues that you raised, like the coronavirus, geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, these are one-off issues and yes, can be kind of quite easily written out, because they'll last maybe a couple of months. But the thing is about the concerns over the trade war, that started nearly 2 years ago, about the time that you would have started preparing for your IPO. So at the time, wouldn't you have perhaps been a little bit concerned since there was already talk about the global economy slowing?
No, because the thing is, look at the trade war now. Right, China and the US are coming to some sort of a conclusion, or at least on the path to sorting out their differences. So if it's not the trade war, it's going to be another trade war coming up somewhere. So how long do we wait? When do we time it? What is a good time? When is a bad time? We've been in the business in Malaysia for 36 years. We've been through the financial crisis, which was terrible, 1997. We've been through SARS. We've been through the Nipah virus and so on. And every year, we've had uninterrupted growth. We've never had a year of loss. We've posted profits, growing profits every single year for the last 36 years. So if you ask me, can we weather this? Yes. Why do I say that with such confidence? Because I've been through 36 years and we've had growth. So I think it's going to take something truly massive to shake us. And anyway, you know, crisis is the new normal.
So nothing short of a world war then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Datin Mina, let's also dive into some of the things that you have pegged for the proceeds of your IPO. Number one of that being CapEx. So you're looking to increase the number of points of sale for the body shop. 6 more in Malaysia, 15 in Vietnam, 5 in Cambodia. But in Malaysia here, as you've said, you've been in operations for 36 years. You're coming off of a high base effect. You already have 89 points of sales. So beyond these 6 stores that you've already earmarked, how much more realistically can the body shop expand?
Okay, for Malaysia, we're actually looking not so much to open more stores, but to actually improve productivity for every single store that we have. If you, if you're Malaysian listening in and you've been to a shopping mall, you see that we are always very, very well located. So we're looking to improve our current locations. We're looking to improve productivity for all the stores that we have in that's already in top locations. But we're focusing on omni-channel in Malaysia. We're looking to drive digital. We're looking to improve on our online, offline capabilities for our customer convenience so that they can shop both online and offline. Our own data has shown us that our customer that actually shops on both these channels actually spend almost double. So that is a big growth opportunity for us.
So you mentioned productivity of the individual stores. What kind of same-store sales growth are you looking at for the body shop?
Yeah. Because we are in 3 markets, so each of our three markets are in different points of the business cycle. In Vietnam, for example, last year we grew total at about 35% plus 35%, and because we opened 8 new stores, we still had same store sales growth of about just under 5% for Vietnam. So when we talk about same store sales growth or total growth, you know, we prefer ourselves to look at total growth because we are looking for market share, because you know we are still growing. There are still, the whole of the cosmetics and toiletries market is expanding, and within that expansion, the naturals category is the fastest expanding category, and we are looking to dominate that category.
But nevertheless, what kind of a same store sales growth did you see in Malaysia? Because you can say you look at total growth, which is perfectly valid.
Yes.
But at the same time, with 89 points of sale, you know, the concern is that Body Shop's expansion here in Malaysia is reaching a plateau.
Fair enough for you to say that, particularly in the last 2 years with the trade war and with consumer sentiment, our growth in Malaysia, our same store sales growth in Malaysia, has been flat.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and in this kind of environment, I think that's why people were advising us, perhaps you want to wait. And we're saying, no, we don't want to wait because, you know, it's a blimp. You know, these things happen. And if you wait next year, who's to say that next year, this year, 2020, it's not going to be worse than 2019? We don't know, right? We're all hoping it might be better, but it could be worse. So if I wait 2020 and I go into 2021, would it be better? So I don't think so. But we have strategies in place to try and improve ourselves and to improve the business. And I have confidence in the strategies that we put in and the team to execute it. So we're going ahead.
So with the implementation then of these omni-channel marketing approaches and with the IT expansion that you've earmarked for the proceeds of this IPO, how much more do you anticipate to grow perhaps your same store sales growth and indeed your total growth here in Malaysia?
Well, we're expecting strategies take a little bit of time to gestate. Right. And so if I can take a longer time frame from now until, say, 2021, we're expecting top line CAGR of high teens and earnings of low teens, growth of low teens. So that's where our expectations are. So there is still growth. You know, it's not correct to say that there will be no growth in Malaysia because, my goodness me, that will be a really, really terrible time for all of us. Mm. But having said that, Malaysia, we've always had strong, consistent earnings, and that's not going to change. What we're looking for growth is we're looking for Vietnam. We're looking for Vietnam to provide the exponential growth because Vietnam is a population of over 90 million people, and we only have 34 stores in Vietnam. And of course, Cambodia is greenfield for us. We just have one store there. And that's where we're looking for the exponential growth to come from.
All right. Now, just also looking at the cosmetics and personal care product industry as a whole. So you mentioned that you do expect a certain amount of growth, particularly here in the Malaysian market. And there has been some research to suggest that the Malaysian market for CPC products will grow at about a compound annual growth rate of 6.2%. But that said, the Malaysian market is a lot more competitive than it was when you first started over 30 years ago. So for your price point, you know, are Korean brands perhaps giving you a bit of a run for your money?
Korean brands are giving everybody a run for their money. You know, it's the whole Korean wave thing, you know, Korean movies, Korean singing and so on. So, but these things come and go. If you remember, there was the whole Japanese thing coming along as well. So it could be a fad, it could stay. But having said that, the Koreans have really moved ahead with their technology and so on. So they are here to stay. They are challenging everybody, not just the Body Shop or in nature. And I think competition is good. Gives people a chance to compare. And then if you are strong, if your products are good quality, they come back to you. So it's good.
And what about other international groups? So, for example, Estee Lauder and L'Oreal Group, both of them command a larger share of the Malaysian market than you do. You command about 11%.
Yes, correct.
But will you be able to overtake them?
Well, you know, if you look at their single brands, we are the number one single brand. We only have one brand. That 11% actually just refers to the Body Shop. Mm-hmm. And we already own 11% of that market for the Body Shop, one brand. Estee, I think, has about 6-7. And L'Oreal has about 9 brands in their portfolio. And they still... So if you go brand to brand, single brand to single brand, I think we are still way, way ahead of everybody else.
But the other way you could look at it is that Estee and L'Oreal have more room to grow and expand just by virtue of the fact that they have multiple brands under their umbrella compared to the Body Shop's singular name.
Yes, correct. And that's why we've brought in Natura, which is 100% vegan. And we want to dominate, as I said earlier, we want to dominate in the natural sector. So that's why we have the Body Shop, 100% vegetarian, and Natura, 100% vegan. So we are also expanding our brand portfolio.
All right, and we're going to be speaking more about Natura in just a bit. I'm speaking with Datinmina Chia Fung, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad, here on The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, this is The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Datinmina Chia Fung, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad, the sole retailer and distributor for The Body Shop here in Malaysia. Now, Datinmina, earlier you mentioned a name, Natura, and that is actually a new business that In Nature is looking to bring to the Malaysian market, and it's part of what you're, what you've earmarked proceeds for from your IPO. So perhaps you could tell us a bit more about it. How is Natura positioning itself in comparison to The Body Shop? Who are its direct competitors going to be?
Okay, we are Natura, as I said before. Natura is a new brand that we're bringing in from Brazil. And the distribution channel that we envisage for Natura is completely different. Body Shop is retail and e-commerce. And Natura is more of a C2C business that we are putting in. In short, it's actually direct selling 2.0. It's direct selling on in the digital space. You know, nowadays, everybody's working to get the social media following. I'm sure you have a social media following, Lynn. But, you know, and everybody wants to be an influencer. But how many people are actually able to monetize their social network? Natura will allow people who have a social network to earn money out of that. And also for all the women who've left their jobs to take care of their families and so on, you know, this is an opportunity for them to earn income while they're working at home or taking care of their parents or young children and so on. So how it works is this, you know, we have the Natura app. You sign on as a beauty consultant and you download content from our app, from our website, and create your own content. If you're interested in beauty, you've creating your own content anyway. And then you send it to your friend or send it to your social network. And if someone decides that, hey, this looks pretty good, you know, they click on it, it goes to the Natura website and Natura sends the products to them and the person collects the commission. So it takes away all the pain points from traditional direct selling.
So Natura is, as you mentioned, a brand parked under Natura & Co, which is also principal for The Body Shop.
Yes.
And Natura & Co last year acquired Avon for just over $2 billion. Now, Avon has a presence here in Malaysia and is also involved in direct selling. So are you going to be capitalizing on their network, existing network of advocates and distributors for the Natura brand once it comes in?
There's room enough for everybody. We welcome everybody, whether they are from Avon or any of the other direct selling brands that's out there. You know, anybody who's interested in running their own business, becoming their own entrepreneur, is welcome to join us in Natura. Avon's acquisition by Natura Cosméticos is something that they're still working on. They've only just concluded the takeover and they're still coming out to terms to see how they can actually wrestle this huge beast that is Avon into the Natura family.
So when you talk about direct selling, though, direct selling, the main asset for direct selling will, of course, be your influencers, aka your distributors.
Yes.
So, I mean, how are you going to keep them motivated to stick with the Natura brand? Because one of a typical behavior with these kinds of distributors is that they can move from direct selling initiative to direct selling initiative based on profitability. So what's in it for them? How will you keep them with Natura?
Okay, first of all, the income that they can earn from selling Natura products, skincare is very sticky, right? If you've discovered a brand or product that's good for your skin, you tend to stay with it. You don't swap and change your skincare brand with when a new brand comes along. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if you are interested, if you have a personal interest in whatever you're selling, you stay with it. I've stayed with the Body Shop for 36 years. You know, I could easily be selling tires and I probably could do it really well, but I don't have the love and the passion for it. So, but when you have love and passion for a product, skincare, beauty, you know, you stay to it. No one pays you anything and you're already posting all your makeup techniques, all your skincare techniques, all these new brands. No one's giving you anything for it and you're still doing it in and out, in and out. So that is what we are looking for. We're looking for people who are already passionate about beauty to come and elevate themselves and monetize their social network. So we're coming from a different direction. Whereas we're not selling something that you could that has no differentiator. So we are looking for people with passion for the beauty business.
So since you appear to be bringing in more of Natura & Co's products with the Natura brand, are you also going to be looking at Aesop, since that is another name parked under the Natura & Co umbrella?
Okay, Aesop's is a very interesting proposition that may materialise for us in the future, but I really couldn't say at this point because it's currently run out of Aesop's themselves.
Okay, so because Aesop was originally an Australian brand.
Yes, bought over initially by Natura Cosmeticals, yes.
Okay, so what kind of synergies do you expect to see then? Because now you are bringing in both Natura as well as the Body Shop from Natura Cosmeticals.
Well, first of all, we have the expansionary capacity already within our current team. So that's all in place. And we have the know-how, we have the skill sets, we understand the beauty business. And it seems like a very natural step in a direction that we are very comfortable with. What's new for us and so what's exciting for us and our team is that it's a different channel. Channels are a new way of enlarging our business. You know, you're dealing in traditional retail and online, and now it's C2C, and that is what's exciting, and that I feel is what's going to provide growth and bigger reach than what we can do from stores itself.
So you mentioned expansionary capacity. Is it on the cards perhaps to bring Natura to Vietnam and Cambodia, the other markets where you operate?
That is the plan, because Natura and the way the channel is not bound by traditional territorial boundaries. It actually is in the digital space. And with digital, you know, you are really transboundary. So that is the ambition for Natura, yes.
Do you have a time frame yet for when we might see it expand to Vietnam and Cambodia?
That actually is not within our the what I said to you between 19 Arcega of until 2021, because we're expecting Natura to actually start to break even in 2021. And once we've proven to ourselves and to the market that this is a business that can generate its own success, then I think that will be the time to replicate it. I think that's the sensible and responsible way to do it.
Now, you're also planning to open 6 points of sale for Natura over the next 3 years, so aka 2 a year. But at the end of these 3 years that you've charted out, what kind of market share are you hoping to be able to capture with the addition of Natura to your existing The Body Shop 11% market share?
Well, we're hoping to be able to add, because it's also online, we're hoping to be able to add at least another 1.5% to our total market share.
And overall, what would you say is your relationship with the principal, Natura Cosmeticals? Is there a chance that Natura... So how long, first of all, is the exclusive agreement you have with them for the Body Shop and also for Natura? And is there a chance that they could perhaps take it away?
Okay, we've been with... Let's address the Body Shop first. We've been with the Body Shop for 36 years now, and we've just... For the Body Shop, actually, to help us with this IPO, they renewed all our 3 franchises for the 3 markets last year for a period of 10 plus 5. And that is an indication of their support and their interest in the IPO, right? So all of the franchises start fresh last year for 10 plus 5 for the Body Shop. For Natura, we are actually 10 plus 10 years. Now, Natura is, I've been watching actually Natura for many, many years. You know, in the old days, whenever I was really fed up with the Body Shop, I would write to Natura and say, Natura, you know, I want to represent you in Malaysia. Right. And I've been following them for almost, I think, 20 years now. And I like where they are. They're very consistent. And they are quite an open, transparent company. What they say and what they do are aligned. So I have a lot of confidence with them. And on top of which, to enable this listing, we are paying Natura and the Body Shop a 1% royalty on our top line sales. So that is part of the whole listing deal, so to speak. So I'm very confident that the brand value will remain with us as long as we want it to remain.
And but if you are so confident in the future prospects of both the Body Shop and Natura, why then have you decided to reduce your shareholding? Because I noticed in addition to the 74 million new shares being created for the In Nature listing, both you and Dato Simon Fung, who's your husband and executive director, you've both decided to reduce your shareholding in the company from about 100% to 75%, down by a quarter. Yeah. So if the company's prospects are so good, then what was the decision behind this? What was the reasoning behind this?
To list, we actually have to sell down. We have no choice. We have to sell down because Simon and I own 100% of the company. So 25% was, according to our principal advisors, the minimum that we would have to put out. So we put out 25%. Now, the Body Shop and has always been and should continue to be a very profitable company. So as I said earlier, we've been preparing this listing for 2 years now, and it actually took a year longer than we expected. We've done all the things that we said we're going to do. If you can look back at our initial draft prospectus that we put out versus what we the real prospectus now, all the things that we said we were doing, we're going to do, we've done. And on our own steam with our own internally generated funds. So Simon and I are not selling down. We had to put out 25% into the public sphere because we were told you have to put out 25% to the public sphere. So we're not selling down.
All right. So in a nutshell then, what would you say to investors who might be interested in looking into In Nature's IPO at 68 cents per share?
Yeah. You know, if you're looking, if you've ever in your heart felt that you wanted to be green or you wanted to support green or you wanted to try and do something more than just make money, you know, I think this is one of the other reasons. First reason was actually to turn our stakeholders into shareholders. The other one is to put an ESG compliant company onto the main board so that people can put their money where their heart is and invest in a company with ESG.
And with that, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Datin Mina. I've been speaking with Datin Mina Chia Fung, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.